You ready? All right, let's do this. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Everyone's ready.
I'm so ready.
All right.
Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every single delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Claire Fallon. Happy Tuesday, everyone. It is indeed Tuesday, and that can only mean two things. We have an episode of The Bachelor to recap, and the lovely Emma Gray is now a published author.
Thanks, Claire. My book, A Girl's Guide to Joining the Resistance, hits bookshelves today. You can find it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, if you're in New York, indie bookstores like Word and The Strand and Books Are Magic all have it. So it would mean the world to me if you would go out and buy it and give it a review and rating on Amazon. Thank you guys for all of your support, and all of your Insta comments have been making me very, very happy. And thank you, Claire, for the donuts you brought me today. Like, I couldn't be happier right now.
I mean, I really love donuts, which means that probably everyone does. And, like, honestly, if you are someone you love, even doesn't have to be a girl, anyone wants to get involved politically, wants to do more, wants to hear tips from amazing activists, this is the perfect book. Get out there and read it and share and enjoy.
But of course, enough self-promotion. This podcast is still about The Bachelor. And last night was fantasy suite.
Oh my God.
Hey. We're joined by the wonderful Vella Lavelle, who you may know from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, one of the greatest shows on TV.
Of all time.
Of all time. Definitely of all time. I mean, it is a musical television show. It's like all of my favorite things. And it's feminist. Like, there's nothing better.
True.
And she also was in The Big Sick. Mm-hmm. Another really fantastic, not TV show, but mm-hmm. movie, and you should all check it out.
Two of the greatest pieces of
pieces
art
of all art. Time.
Yeah,
all exactly. Time. Thanks for being here, Vella.
Thank you guys for having me. I begged to come back.
So let's get started. We are in Peru, which, as Ari points out, has lots of culture. It has Machu Picchu, and it has landscapes.
I love when they prep landscapes. Him with all the fun facts. It's so
great.
Yeah,
he's like, there are like general the landscapes.
And also, now that we've seen those bloopers where he's like, I'm like, how many takes did it take for him to deliver these facts?
Oh, my. These very general facts They're like, from Wikipedia.
That was the best take out of the 72. You did, in fact, manage to mention Machu Picchu without going,
Oh, my God. Wait, when did the bloopers happen?
Women tell all.
See, I meant... Oh, man.
There's like 10 minutes straight of him trying to say lines and then stumbling over.
If only for the needle dick, you gotta check it out.
I know. I really missed out.
So Kendall has the first date, and I really thought this date looked fun. They meet on
yes.
these dunes.
I thought all the dates looked really fun.
I don't understand how Ari, who's like the most boring bachelor, gets all the best trips. Like,
well,
he got to go to Paris.
That's what they need to do to make his, like,
exciting. Caitlin was able to be in Ireland for
10 months.
Weeks. Yeah, and it didn't matter because she's so entertaining.
She's so fun. Yeah, I was like, he gets to go to Paris and Tuscany and Peru? Like, how is that fair?
Yeah. Also, The Bachelor usually gets better trips than The Bachelorette, I feel like.
I mean,
they really blow it out for them.
Something's up.
Whatever. But this date looked really fun. I'm not much of like a sportsy person, but I would really like to sandboard. I thought that looked really fun.
It looked so fun.
Awesome. Although I was like worried about the car because it was like stuck on a hill at a certain point.
They got the dune buggy stuck on its chassis, I guess, on a peak
Ari
of sand. And they were like, okay, abandoned ship. Let's
now
just leave it here.
Dune buggying is like a relationship.
Oh my God.
Oh, is it? How?
It has its ups and downs.
Sometimes it gets stuck.
But
you have to abandon
persevere.
It.
Yeah, and sometimes you have to just jump out.
Honestly, that is a great metaphor for his relationship with Kendall.
Exactly.
Yeah, it is. Oh my gosh. Maybe it was like subliminal.
It was so obvious the entire episode that he was gonna eliminate. I mean, we knew before we started, but they had this great date, and then
he said he was falling in love with her, didn't he?
But sorry,
he's
I jumped
not
ahead.
In love
he
with did. Her.
He
oh,
said
right.
He
and there's
was
a difference.
For her.
Also, what is the Bachelor vocabulary with falling in love? Because I'm like so confused.
Well, because there's. I'm starting to fall for you.
I'm falling for you.
I'm falling in love with you.
Yeah.
I'm in love with you. Yeah.
And then I love you.
Yeah.
I love you so much.
There's also, I feel like, just general, I'm falling, which I was like, yeah. That's just like, I'm falling.
Yes, I'm falling.
I mean, I feel like it's when you ask like a teenager what they mean by like, we're hanging out. And then they're like, well, okay. So there's like, we're talking.
Right.
And that means like we're sort of involved, but like not really. And then we're hanging out means like we're kind of dating regularly, but like not exclusive. And you're like, what are you talking about? These barely sound like things at all.
These words. Yeah. Yeah. That's how I felt about all of Ari's like,
but then
declarations of love.
Usually they use that stuff because you can't really say I'm in love. And he didn't even seem to care.
No.
But
I think it's because his vocabulary is so limited. He's like, let's just, how many different ways can I mess this up?
He, not very many, just like one or two.
One or two.
I did really feel the chemistry between him and Kendall.
Mm-hmm.
He now is left with these three women at this point that I actually believe he's into them. He's really touchy with them. He keeps, like, grabbing Kendall when they're hanging out. And it looked, like, really, like, a great date. Like, if there weren't any other people, I would be like, this is going good
this
for them.
This is good, yeah.
But he's never given Kendall a one-on-one date. All of her one-on-one dates came after, like, at the point where they all get a one-on-one date. So her first one-on-one date was the hometown date.
That was her first date, was, like, meet my parents?
Well, she's had she was on a two-on-one date.
Oh, that's
right. But that is, like, the kiss of death.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't even realize that. Yeah, so how, I mean, she could never catch up.
No. I mean, and it seems that's like she was especially conscious of that because she talks about how she's been sort of, tokenized by guys in the past. Like, this is
she's
the quirky girl I'm going to date.
Yeah. Well, and she likes to stuff dead rats. So.
It made me really sad because in that moment, it was so clear that that's sort of what she is to Ari.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And especially it's very telling that he's never given her the one-on-one date, even though he clearly loves spending time with her. There's this element of I want to keep someone interesting and fun and different through to the end, but clearly I don't really see
it going
a future.
Anywhere.
Yeah. And part of that is just the setup of the show. You have to keep
a certain
people
person
that
around.
You know you're not going to end up with. It's the name of the game,
but
it sucks for her.
She said that to Ari. She was like, I'm afraid that I'm just the token, like, weird girl.
Right.
And he was like, okay.
Yeah. He was like, okay, so we need to talk about that conversation. So they go to the night date. They're just sort of hanging out on a couch by a pool.
Eating some, like, dumplings.
As they do in Peru.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't know. But Kendall is really in her head throughout the date about how she knows the other women are ready to get engaged and she's not, and she really wants to get to that place. So they're sort of talking about whether their relationship is really ready for that. And she brings up that she wants to see if Ari can see past her quirkiness and the taxidermy, or if she's just like a little fun experience for him. And he says, basically, that all that stuff is why I like you.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's exactly what she just said she was afraid of.
Yeah, he's like, all that stuff is totally fine.
He's like, okay.
I'm fine with the
That's what he said. I'm fine with it now, which is what every girl wants to hear.
Right. It's like the worst combination where he's like, what I like about you is, in fact, your weirdness. But also I don't like it that much.
Yeah, I'll tolerate it.
I'll tolerate it.
It'll be fine. You'll have a taxidermy room in our house in Scottsdale.
And yet that's the only thing I know about you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I believe that Ari, as you said, Claire, is into Kendall. It's just not a super deep into.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He really enjoys her. I think he does have respect for her. I think he thinks she's very interesting. But I still think he views her as a novelty a bit.
Yeah.
She's not the person that he would marry.
I mean, in theory, this is like his last chance to have an experience dating someone that will be different from his spouse.
Yeah.
So might as well hang out with someone doing taxidermy.
I think Ari's secret. Could you guys hear me eating that donut?
Yes, it was very ASMR. I feel really, really good, Claire. Right now.
I think Ari has to subconsciously know he's boring. So I think he knows that he deserves a boring partner. I'm being so harsh right now.
I think he wants a boring partner.
I think he wants, like he said to Baby Becca.
He doesn't want to want it.
But he
wants to want an interesting partner.
Yeah, but he knows that, like, he just wants to stay at home. Like, he's like, I don't really want to go out. I just want to be boring at home.
But that's the thing is, I'm a boring person. I like to be at home. The reason that it's okay is that, like, my husband and I talk a lot
about fun things.
About stuff. Like, we talk about interesting things that we read and see.
Ari just wants to say, I like that at home.
How can you do that at home? You have to be looking at some Nazca lines or something, like, to be able to say that.
I think Ari could say, I like that about pretty much anything.
Yeah. Something like The Bachelor's on. I like that.
I like that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Just
to change it up.
Yeah, he does say I love that, too.
He's really graduated to I love that.
Yeah, he has. Yeah, he's changed.
He's come into his own as someone who loves things.
Yeah.
Kendall says he feels like her best friend. Mm.
It always amazes me
when people
on this show say those things.
Yeah.
Even more than when they say,
I'm in love with
this person, it confuses me that they say they're my best friend.
But I'm sure he does feel like her best friend because she doesn't get to talk to anyone else.
I know. Also, I guess, like, by this point, they're not even with the other women.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. They're, like, sequestered in a room in Peru.
Yeah.
And she's like, you're my best friend.
Yeah. So that's
I haven't spoken to another human for days.
And by best, I mean only.
Only friend.
Yeah. Yeah, that was kind of sad.
Yeah. So they have this long conversation about whether they are going to be able to get to that point that the other women are at. And and then they kind of feel they decide that they feel that they are falling in love with each other. And that's kind of the permission that they need, I guess, to say yes to the fantasy suite. I really like watching them together. I feel like he's so much more fun around her. Like, whenever he's with Lauren, he feels very, like, uptight and nervous and tense. And when he's with Becca, I feel like he really lets Becca do all of the talking. And with Kendall, I feel like she brings him out a little bit.
Yeah,
I see him laugh a lot.
I was like, Marique was saying to us yesterday that Ari's actually kind of a goofy nerd.
Well,
I'm starting to believe, but we haven't really seen that. Much of that side of him. You know, perhaps part of it is that he just took a while to get comfortable in the role.
Oh, 100%.
You know, he's starting to show a bit more of his personality now that we're almost towards the end.
Yeah.
It's too late, Ari.
Like, I know. It's unfortunate. But we do see him giggling with Kendall and goofing off, and they're, you know, going down the dunes and laughing and falling. And it's
looks
delightful.
Yeah,
there's a lot of metaphors in there.
It is
falling,
like,
picking yourself back up.
Getting sand in your mouth.
Yeah. Well, that is, love is a lot like getting sand
like
in your
sand.
Mouth.
It really is.
It's exactly like sand.
So they forego the individual rooms and spend the night in the fantasy suite.
I also just sidebar loved Kendall's jumpsuit.
Yes,
I actually wrote that down.
Did you
note about that too?
I was like, we all need this red jumpsuit.
Yeah.
And
I wrote Kendall's in a great red jumpsuit.
Let us know.
Where'd you get your jumpsuit from?
A lot of great clothes this episode.
Someone find that for us
clothes.
On the internet, because I know someone posted an Instagram style thing about
it. We need it.
We should check Possessionista.
She shut down.
What?
I know. Dana decided it was time.
That's fair. I understand. So by the end of the night, I sort of get the sense that Kendall is, like, talking herself into the proposal. She's like, I feel like I would hope for that at the end.
Yeah, because wasn't the episode before she was like, I'm not ready? And then she was like,
at the beginning of this episode, she said if he had proposed to me, I would say no.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now she's like, I think I can get there.
This is what solitary confinement can do to a person.
They're like, you cannot leave your room until you say yes to a proposal.
And she's like, actually, he's my best friend, and I want to do this. This makes sense.
And in the morning, they make eggs together. Apparently, they stayed up very late talking, and now he knows that she likes her eggs sunny side up and crisp on the bottom.
Which I think you should know what kind of how your partner likes their eggs before you get married. to a person.
I mean, that's what we all learn from Runaway Bride, right? But I will say this. I don't know how Greg likes his eggs. I just make them how I like them, and right. I give him half.
Well, that's what matters.
That's what matters. You like, want. I'm the worst person.
Making the eggs, and what is their favorite style?
Exactly.
Everything else is relevant.
Oh, and we also got some good shots of Ari's Les Mis tattoo while they're snuggling in the morning. We haven't talked about this yet.
You haven't talked about it? It's my favorite thing.
Apparently, Ari identifies with Jean Valjean.
But apparently, he saw it one time. Like, he saw the touring production one time in London. And then he was like, I really relate to the main character.
This man who stole a loaf of bread to feed his hungry family.
He really
it's just
relates.
Like me, the wealthy son of a famous race car driver.
Yeah, he was like, I think we need to have the same tattoo. This is meant to be.
Also, like, so Greg is like, cannot get over this. He's like, you just can't get a tattoo of a number on your forearm. Like you just can't do
no
it.
For no reason.
Yeah, because you like Les Mis, but, like, is not enough.
Like, it's just a little too close for comfort.
It's very jarring when you first see it.
We're just still a little too close to the Holocaust.
Yeah, a little.
True.
Just a little too
close. Just like a little. I appreciate the sentiment. Love me some Les Mis.
I think, yeah.
You could have just chosen the placement a little more carefully.
I think that went over his head completely.
I think he should have gotten a tattoo that says, I am like Jean Valjean.
Yeah.
Just like to make it a little more clear to people like me who don't know much about Les Mis. And also to avoid the number tat thing. And I think, we could have.
He saw it and he was like, I like that.
He's like I love that. Jean Valjean.
I love that. But I thought it was like going to turn out that he had like done musical theater in college or something. But no, he saw it one time.
Someone told me originally that it was only because he had seen the movie and I was really horrified.
Oh,
so I'm just glad
no.
he saw the play.
That he
I'm glad
saw the
it was
play.
Because he saw the play.
Oh, gosh. Oh, my gosh. Sorry.
Yeah. It's a lot.
Lame mistake.
Also, I saw a lot of Becca's cross tattoo, which
I did, too.
We pointed out that we were surprised she was so religious, and a lot of people said, well, she has a cross tattoo on her hand. To be honest, I sort of thought it was a dagger tattoo.
Oh, it could
I had not noticed it.
It looks like
it.
I mean,
I think it's a cross.
It is a cross, I just sort of, the visual of it, it looks
it's kind
a
of a
like
long
a
cross.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
So I'm just defending myself here. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
So, she is feeling even more confident this morning. She doesn't, in the moment, in her little PJs that are very cute, and says that she can see her husband in him and being engaged. And he asks her how she's feeling emotionally, not physically, because he don't give a fuck about that.
Not physically.
I'm kidding. I don't know why he said that, though. Like, why would you say that?
Maybe he was worried about the eggs. Maybe he was like, how are you feeling physically after the
Did
egg?
I give you food poisoning?
I feel like he was worried that it came off like, how are you feeling after that workout I gave you last night?
But
he was like, emotionally.
But
I mean, emotionally.
He just implied that by clarifying.
Yeah.
Not necessary.
Exactly. No one would have thought that if he hadn't.
And now all I can think about is all the sex they definitely had.
Yeah. Definitely. I'm still, like, the fantasy suite thing is still so weird that it's okay for a guy to just sleep with three different women 3 days in a row. It's so crazy to me.
I think they have weird.
A day in between each?
Okay. A day to just cleanse.
Yeah.
Some
to
of
shower.
To shower. Some of them don't sleep
That's
with all
true.
Of them.
Sometimes, no, actually, they very often don't sleep with all of them.
Okay. Yeah.
But it totally depends on the person. I think there are people who have, slept with men and women who have slept with all three. There are people who have slept
Nick
with none.
Nick definitely did.
Oh, yeah.
He did not sleep with Rachel.
He did not.
Oh, no.
Because
you're
it was election night, and she was so upset that she got wasted and passed out.
Is that why he sent her home?
No, I think he...
I think he knew it was Vanessa.
Oh, my gosh.
He knew it was Vanessa pretty early on, and I think that he...
Yeah.
I think he felt like it was kinder to send Rachel home earlier.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But
you guys know
so they
all
didn't,
the details of the
well,
fantasy
Rachel gave an interview on Bachelor Party podcast, and she said that was the night
together.
Trump got elected, and she didn't want to talk about it on camera, and then she just was so, like, anxious and just...
That feels like
self-soothing that she passed out instead of talking to Nick about it.
Yeah, that
I gotta go to bed.
Sounds really stressful.
Yeah.
So I guess he didn't.
I mean, thanks, Trump.
I feel like the thing about the fantasy suite is that you would just want time off camera together.
Yeah.
Even they have a lot of conversations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then it is so heavily implied that they have sex that it's like you have to agree that you will appear to be having sex if you want time off camera with this person you might marry soon. Right, it's like a very.
Right. Which is why the people that don't want to give off that impression say.
We talked
make
all
it
night.
Very, like, belabor the point about the
but
fact
they can
that
edit
how much
all of
talking
that, out.
That they did.
That's true.
Yeah.
Right.
And then it is time for Lauren's date.
Oh my gosh. Why?
Feels like she loves him after
she
seeing
does.
Him
but
with
I
her
don't
family.
Get,
like,
but she's very stressed. Right. Lauren's been stressed for the last
she's
4 weeks.
Been stressed the whole time. She's also never talked. Like,
yeah.
I've never heard her talk about anything.
Well, that's
other
the
than
only thing we
except
know about
the fact
her.
That she's stressed. I know that she's stressed, and I know that she was engaged, and that's it.
Yeah, and like she wants him to make her feel good and comforted.
And it's like that's the wrong show. Like,
she also wants to
go
feel
on a different
like
show.
She's the only woman he sees. I'm like, you're literally on a show.
That's the opposite.
Where.
Of this.
Called The Bachelor. Yeah. You're on The Bachelor. Welcome to The Bachelor. He's literally considering marrying at least two other
at
women.
At least three ladies. Yeah. And just slept with one of them, probably.
I did wonder the order that they filmed these dates in.
I think that they filmed them in order because they mentioned it very pointedly before the rose ceremony that his first date was with Kendall.
Oh, I missed that.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay, and so and the thing with Lauren still seemed very fresh. But so he's waiting for her, like, by a little plane, which
and
she
is
excited
says,
to see.
There is a plane behind you.
Yes.
And then he says, there's a plane behind me.
And I
then
can't
she's
deal
like,
with them.
There's a plane behind you.
And then he says,
guys,
yeah.
they have such a deep relationship. Like, they really get into
it. It's literally beyond words.
I was
it's
watching last
words.
Night. I was watching last night with Erin, who was on our podcast a couple weeks ago, and she was just would start counting the amount of times Ari said yeah in a row during their conversation.
Especially Lauren and Ari.
Yes, it was
at
them.
At one point,
just them.
It was
at one point, there were,
like,
I
seven?
Think, seven or eight yes in
I
a row.
That. He was like, yeah. Yeah.
Well, she never says anything that merits any more of a response than that. Mm-hmm. So, and that she he keeps giving her these dates that are pretty cool, like cultural
experiences. He gives her all the cool
lines.
Dates.
That was amazing. I want to see those.
I know. They were incredible.
I loved seeing it just on the TV screen. Yeah. It looked incredible.
And all she could muster was,
cool. She, like, barely seemed to want to look out the window.
Yeah.
No interest. I'm like, these are ancient drawings that you can only see from a plane.
Like, you're never going to have
ancient
this
drawings in the sand.
And I'm like,
that is crazy.
Like, cool. Ari, think about this. Like, you could have brought Kendall on this date and she would have been much more fun than Lauren. You definitely couldn't have brought Lauren on Kendall's date. You're really limiting yourself to, like, basically no dates that Lauren is fun on.
No.
And yet he seems to prefer her so much.
His body language, like, he's obsessed with her. And I
obsessed.
Do not understand. Like, she's literally never said anything.
If they're going to end up together, I wish the show would explain to us a little bit more.
What happened? I think maybe that's it.
Or
I think
that's
he's super withholding and he's like,
and he's into that.
Love it. Like, it drives him crazy.
And she has the perfect look for him.
Yeah.
He definitely is super attracted to her.
Yeah.
She's never offered enough personality for him to be turned off
to
by
not
it.
Like anything because she's only said cool.
Unobjectionable.
And he's only said yeah.
Very like, unobjectionable.
Their whole relationship is cool and yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's so mind-boggling to me.
And it's because this is exactly what happened in Paris and in Tuscany. They sort of sightsee together.
Mm-hmm.
And she not only can't say anything interesting about what they're looking at, and which in this case is they're basically huge geoglyphs you can see from the sky, like dogs and spiders and stuff, which is really cool. Or she doesn't even seem happy to be seeing it.
Yeah, she's I'm pretty unimpressed.
She looks miserable.
Yeah.
And he doesn't seem bothered enough by it. Like, he definitely is like, there's a wall. with her that she puts up.
He loves that wall. He loves the wall.
The real thing about Ari is that he's actually attracted to walls and
he's
not actual women.
I love that. I love walls.
I love that wall.
I wrote down something, and I think it says a lot to both Ari and Lauren's personality that I don't know who said it. And the quote was, "I didn't know if I had these feelings, and then I did, and then it made me happy." I don't know who said that.
I don't either.
Oh, I don't know.
But it was said.
It's equal chance.
You know, I think it might be Ari because every time she talks about her feelings, she says they make her miserable.
Yeah, she's like, I hate this.
Yeah, she's like, I'm so in love with you.
And he's like, I love this. And she's like, I hate this.
And then he's like, I didn't know if I had these feelings. And then I did. And then it made me happy.
Oh, my God.
Also, in the morning, he said, I feel good. And she said, I feel good, too. I'm like, the conversation is astounding.
I mean, that just, okay. I don't want to say anything inappropriate.
So at the night portion of their date, she is talking. Well, he brings up that she's anxious.
By the way, first, they get out of the plane and just, like, hang out, I guess, on a bench for a while.
Right.
And
oh,
they
right.
have this long, circling conversation where she just keeps saying, I'm afraid because of how much I like you. And he's like, well, what are you afraid of? And she's like, getting hurt because I love you. And he's like, but why? And she's like, because I love you. Like, no. Oh, my God.
And then she keeps saying, the longer I stay here, the greater my feelings are. And he just keeps saying, Yeah.
But she basically, this was important because she basically insinuated she almost was going to leave the show. And I think Ari was like, I love that.
He loves the idea that she's maybe not into it.
He said something like he was crushed or that scared him a lot.
He says
scared the shit out of me.
Just going to say, Ari's an adrenaline junkie.
He loves it.
He loves it.
Oh, my God, she might leave, but she's so scared because she loves me. But she's going to leave. I love that. Like, I feel like that's how his mind works.
It definitely is.
Yeah.
And that's really been Lauren's big competitive advantage so far. But she does heavily imply that she might leave. And he's like, well, just know that I'm crazy about you. And the reason you're here is that I see the potential for you being my wife.
Yeah.
Which is the least romantic thing I have ever heard.
Also, isn't that the whole premise of the show?
Right. That's the premise of the show. Just maybe try not to say it like you are doing a job interview. Like, I would even be kind of offended if someone said that to me in a job interview.
I see potential in your job performance of being my wife.
I love that.
Will you get promoted to wife. My wife?
I love that. Now I can't stop saying
I love that.
I love that.
They do then. They go to the night date, which they're just having outdoor dinner at a restaurant. I don't know.
Yeah, nobody ate.
Ari loves to eat.
I'm sure Ari did eat, and they just cut it out.
Yeah.
They're like, we've shown enough.
We know that he likes to eat, and that is a thing I enjoy about him.
And he says, when we were flying around, I saw there was a heavy weight on your shoulders. You know?
Stop.
You know?
Stop.
You know what I mean?
You know?
He says that way, too. It's like, I saw there was a heavy weight on your shoulders. You know?
You know what that's like? You know, heavyweight that I saw you have?
Ari reminds me of a brontosaurus from a children's book, and I can't get it. Like, he's just so like, you know? Yeah, he is. And it's just, oh, my God.
Oh, I like it more when he's like that. I found this really funny.
Yeah.
But, of course, we also have to watch Lauren on this date. And he says, I know this isn't easy, and it could get harder before it gets easier. And she says, I know, and I couldn't have done this without you, which I thought was a hilarious thing to say.
What do you mean? Of course you couldn't have.
It's like, what if you... Yeah. I know. It's like, having this extramarital affair with you has been so difficult, but I couldn't have done it without you.
Well, that is
true.
It just confirms that she has no idea what show she's on.
Yeah, she really doesn't.
She's like, am I on reality television? Why are there cameras here?
Lauren B. Show, Lauren B. Part 2. I also love how, like, whenever Ari points out the glaringly obvious, which is that she's so, like, stressed and upset all the time, she's like, I'm really glad you said that. Like, he's a genius. And it's like, girl, you were, like, in a helicopter, and you were so upset. Like, of course he noticed.
They have a deep, unspoken connection that's beyond words. I wonder if she's never dated anyone before who has noticed that she has feelings.
Yeah. Or that, like, she doesn't talk.
I felt upset, and he said, "Are you okay?" And that
noticed.
Made me really realize that we have a really unique connection that no one else really has, and I'm so lucky to have that, like, and I know that.
No, like, you just haven't spoken for 36 hours, and he pointed it out. Like, that's a really sad standard.
I wouldn't be surprised if Ari was a lot sort of softer than a lot of the guys that she's dated.
Maybe.
Probably.
Maybe.
But that just makes me
It makes me a little sad that...
Yeah.
I just
the bar
be
should
like,
be set higher.
The things about
not that Ari isn't good or a good fit for her, but
no, but it seems
the
like
standards are
shocked,
very low.
Right, the fact that she seems genuinely shocked that someone would take the time to notice any of her feelings,
yeah,
makes me think maybe
You're
she
right.
should date around a little
exactly.
bit more.
Yes. I don't trust that she really knows what a unique and special connection is if
no.
she thinks that that is indicated by the other person noticing that you have emotions.
Yeah.
That is like the bare minimum for a relationship.
I know. Also, I mean, on her hometown date, it was like her whole family was just like silent and still in the living room. And I was like, oh, this is maybe not the space for feelings, you know?
No.
So maybe it is like very exciting.
Unless it's
that
feelings about golf, because we know they are very passionate about that.
Well, there yeah. you go. Golf's emotional.
And she says that if it's her at the end of the process, it would mm-hmm. mean a lot. True. But she wants him to be confident in his decision for the rest of his life, not just the day he proposes. And he's like, well, I think after this, I'll have just exhausted all the other relationships and it will just be the one relationship. So, like,
also another great thing you want to hear.
I know, which it's just wild to me in any other context. If your boyfriend said that to you, it would be like, great, continue dating these women until you've exhausted
them.
Literally exhausted
them. Until you've exhausted
any,
them and can throw them
right,
by the wayside.
Or maybe until you've exhausted me and can throw me by the wayside.
Until I've worn them into the ground, and then I'll be pretty ready to spend the rest of my life with you. Oh, God. She seemed into it. She was like, okay.
Yeah. And then Ari says, I want you to know I do feel confident in this because I love
I
you.
I love you.
I don't want to lose you. And she starts crying and says she doesn't want to lose him either. And he says, don't
cry.
I love you.
He just wants to say it all the time now.
Don't
He's like,
cry
I
have... because I love you.
Ari yes. has broken the I love you seal.
I know.
Yeah. Now he's just I love you-ing all over the place.
Is that the first person he said I love you to?
Yes.
Yes.
And, you know, traditionally that would happen at the proposal.
Right. You're never supposed to say it.
Yeah.
And Ben Higgins, when he did it, it did not seem – it seemed like it –
came out of the moment.
Yeah, just sort of came out of him, and he was pretty horrified afterwards and told the women that he had said, I love you.
Wait, before the proposal? Did he? Or was it
after
the show?
Or maybe not. Maybe it was after. Or maybe it was after.
Didn't we all learn from Ben's season that you don't do that?
Well, like, the thing also
it just makes things a lot harder for you after.
Ben got sort of this mileage out of it because both women were like, oh, so he's sure about me because he's not supposed to say that. He's probably only saying it to me as a sign. And now I feel like the women...
they have no idea.
They're like, is he saying this to only me? Apparently he could be saying it to anyone.
Yeah.
And he is.
And he is.
Well, not Kendall.
Not Kendall. He's already said he loves that, so it's not that much
he
of a transition.
He's warming up to it.
Yeah.
And he offers her the fantasy suite card, and she says, you know, I love you too, and this is so wonderful, and let's go. And he says, you're so funny.
No, he didn't.
Yes,
he said, you're so, and that is the moment I decided they belong together, because anyone that finds Lauren so funny.
Go for it.
That is her husband.
Yeah.
Maybe, do you think it's like when it's like, you know, people are colorblind and it's like everyone's version of red is like someone else's version of blue? Like, do you think in Ari's mind, like, Lauren's like cracking jokes and just like being hilarious? And he's like, this girl is
hilarious.
I think that he's been waiting so tensely for her to show any sign of an emotion that he, of a personality that he can hang his feelings on.
You're
that the
so
minute
funny.
That she did something a little off kilter, like she said, let's go to the fantasy suite. instead of being like, okay. He was like, oh my gosh, you're funny.
You're so funny.
Break out the stand up. This girl, Booker, everywhere.
This girl can tell a joke. It starts and ends with, let's go.
And then they make out on a couch while this like Leanne Rimes cover plays.
Oh.
I Don't Want to Live Without You.
Oh,
it was distracting.
I know. Aaron and I started singing along.
Yeah. You don't often hear a song with like lyrics.
I was going to say it's very rare that they play a song with lyrics on this show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was shocked.
Especially like, I don't want to live without you. And it's like, there's still two other women here.
No, but like. Also, Lauren's fantasy suite was way nicer than anybody else's. Like, he's clearly, like, giving her, like, the princess dates, you know?
Kendall
spent the day on a dune.
That was a cool date, but the night portion.
I personally would have rather gone on Becca's date. Like, I think camping in the middle of the desert sounds awesome.
That was
like,
amazing.
Well, that's the thing.
But
that
like,
is
clearly,
a date you will never get to do in life. Like, if I'm going on The Bachelor, I want to be ushered, like, in Aladdin over the sand dunes,
like,
you know, under the stars.
Like,
she was
in the desert.
We'll get to it, but she was in a beautiful silk robe. In the desert.
When did that happen?
She was the least appropriately dressed for the desert.
But clearly,
loved how she was dressed for the desert.
That's exactly how you should dress for a desert.
In a tiny silk robe. Yes.
But, like, clearly, Lauren is getting all the high maintenance dates.
Well, yeah, because she's super not down for anything.
No, except for a life in Scottsdale.
Yeah, well, that's all that he needs, I guess.
Yeah.
And in the morning, we hear them kissing before we see them.
There was so much zoomed in making out.
Ugh. I feel like
they're both wearing white T-shirts in bed. I was like, oh, you guys.
I feel good. I feel good, too. I feel like Ari has this reputation of being, like, the best kisser. And I'm like, actually, I feel like he eats people's faces. Like, I don't know.
I used to enjoy watching him make out on TV on Emily's season.
Oh, I didn't watch Emily's season.
It was in these small doses, and it felt really passionate and a contrast to how she was with some of the other men. And he was he's sort of gentle, but also passionate. And so, but it's just too much.
I feel like it's too much of it. He's too confident in his kissing now.
There's too many zoomed in shots.
Ugh. I feel like it's
I can hear the tongue.
The difference.
It's between.
Like
I can't either.
What if you have, instead of The Notebook, it's like The Notebook, but 80% of The Notebook is the makeout scenes.
Yeah.
You know, like it has more impact if you have some build up to it. And it feels like he's just been smearing his mouth on people this whole time.
Smearing and bowling balls. Smear and bowling balls. Oh,
and
God. They're like, and you know, the producer's like, how about another shot of you kissing? All right. He's like, sounds good to me.
That's the only reason he came on The Bachelor anyway.
Ugh.
And Lauren seems super confident in the morning.
Well, it made me wonder if, like, she made him tell her that he was going to pick her.
Yeah.
Yes.
We had the same thought.
Yes. You did, too.
I
100% think that he said, I'm going to pick you.
Because I'm like, she was so needy and
all
paranoid.
All of her anxieties were gone.
All of her anxieties are gone. Like, the
and,
only
and
way that would happen.
And often they do indicate to the person that they're going to pick.
Like, I'm going to pick
That they're going to pick them.
Because that's when you do it, when the cameras aren't there.
Yeah, and I think that's completely reasonable.
Yeah. She was so confident in the morning. I was like, that's the only thing that could have happened.
That's suspiciously confident.
Yeah.
And even in front of us, he says, it's going to get harder before it gets easier, and I want you to feel like it's all worth it. That is something that you say to someone.
The only way for this to get easier is for them to end up together.
For him to pick her.
Right.
Exactly.
That is something you say to someone about ending up together in the end. It's not like, if I dump you, it will then be easier.
Yeah, for you. For me, it'll be easier because I won't have to deal with you.
I'm still exhausting all my options. Like,
yeah.
That doesn't instill confidence.
He is still exhausting all his options, if you know what I mean.
He really just winked at Bella.
I'm sorry, guys.
I thought I got it.
Okay. So, and then she says, I can't see Ari ending up with anyone else but her because he told her that because she doesn't have enough imagination to think that without him literally telling her that.
Yeah, she needs people to spell it out for her, and I'm pretty sure he did.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm glad we're on the same page.
I wish that Lauren was not so impossible to like or enjoy watching.
She but hasn't done anything particularly offensive. I just can't connect to her at all. Yeah.
She's done literally nothing.
And I think it feels like especially like a contrast this season, because the majority of the women on this season have been very dynamic,
yes,
interesting, had really interesting things to say.
Yes.
We've understood them and their personalities and their dynamics, and they've all seemed close to each other. With Lauren, I've got nothing.
It's so like white bread or like white rice or something. It's just like is there any spice?
And that's
the
thing.
Salt?
It becomes a little frustrating.
Like, put a little margarine on the white bread.
Even butter would be fine. Butter would be fine.
But margarine would be fine.
Or margarine.
Fake butter would be
fake
fine.
Butter. There's literally nothing on the toast. Nothing.
It's really, it's not her fault necessarily, but it is kind of tiring to see someone held up as so desirable and perfect and lovable when she has brought nothing noticeable to the table other than being blonde and young and pretty.
And of course, we say all of this understanding that there is editing. There are people who don't come off well on television. I'm sure Lauren is a perfectly nice person, and I'm sure we would enjoy her in, you know, a one-on-one conversation.
Yeah.
We're just not getting any of that.
Nothing.
And yet she's on our TV screens for a lot of time.
A lot of time.
And that is frustrating, especially when there are a lot of other women who have been on the show and who are still on the show that I would love to get to know better.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seemed like
But Ari doesn't want to get to know them better.
No, right, that is the problem. And this
is his
show.
He doesn't like that.
We're going to take a quick break, but we will be back with the rest of Fantasy Suites with Bella Lavelle. Finally, it's Becca's date. Mm-hmm. They meet by the water.
She also jumps on him, which I think is a requirement.
Yeah,
that's how you know it's love. Or that's how you know you're falling.
If you're perspective.
If I would be falling
jumps.
If I tried to jump.
Yeah, you almost make the other person
I'm
fall.
I'm literally falling because you've jumped on me. So
and I can't.
From such heights.
Yeah.
Yeah. From such great
Some
heights.
Such great heights. Kind of like sandboarding.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And she says she realizes she's in love after the hometowns, but she is excited to tell him. She hasn't told him yet. Mm-hmm. And they get in a boat to look at some islands covered in various fauna.
Okay, I went to go get more pad thai while this happened, so I don't actually know.
How much pad thai did you need?
It was a lot. So I did miss a chunk of that conversation, so I just want to put
Well,
that out
I
there.
Just want to say that she shares some thoughts about this date, including, I never thought I'd be on a catamaran with my boyfriend.
Right.
Which, A, is inaccurate because she is not, and B, it doesn't really mean anything that you never thought that. Like, did you ever think, wow, I specifically bet that I will never be on a catamaran with my boyfriend.
That specific thought has never entered her brain.
It makes me think that really she's thought a lot about places she might be with her boyfriend
Pretty
one
specifically.
Day. Yeah, maybe I'll be in a hot air balloon
she
with my boyfriend.
She did think they would be in Peru, but not on a catamaran.
I mean, I sort of assumed what could be more surprising?
I assumed I would be dune bugging with my boyfriend in Peru.
With my boyfriend.
Yeah. One day.
I don't know why it just gives me the icks when they refer to the lead as their boyfriend when he's still dating so many people.
It feels a little like painfully delusional.
It
makes me uncomfortable for them.
I know. It's like, it makes me think they don't know what show they're on.
Yeah.
It's like, this isn't that show.
It makes me think that they are just embarrassing themselves by presuming something that is very much not the case. But I think it's also supposed to, they're working themselves into it. They're like, we could be engaged in a couple days. Maybe I
need
just
to think about.
My
I need to
first.
Think about this. As my potential partner.
I did hear her talk about her ex, and that's when because I had assumed that the ex that they've been showing for like years.
It feels like
it
years.
It feels like it's been years.
It may have well been years.
For 10 years, they've been showing that this ex is coming, and I assumed it was going to be Lauren's.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if that was just me or that was, like, the editing or anything. But then when Becca started talking about her ex, I was like, oh, it's Becca's.
Also, because we got through the whole date without
All three dates.
Yeah,
right.
We got through both of the dates without an ex
coming
back.
Well, I thought maybe they were going to, like, do a switcheroo. Ooh. And it was going to be, like, Kendall's or, like, we wouldn't have seen it coming. We would think it was Becca's, but then it was like, you know.
Interesting.
But,
I mean, I thought it was Lauren's ex, but because we were so aware of that Lauren's, like, been engaged.
Right.
But Becca has talked about her ex before. Right. Her date was just so long ago.
It was so long ago, I forgot about it. Yeah.
But she did mention in their first date about her ex of 7 years.
Right.
Yeah.
I forgot about it.
But meanwhile, on the catamaran, they are talking about their relationship. Mm-hmm. And she asks if he has any doubts or hesitations about it. And he says no.
No.
And he actually can't sounds think of kind of disappointed. Thing. He's like, I really picked my brain. I can't think of any problems with it.
Can you just withhold a little more information and then I'll have some doubts, which I love. Like, oh, gosh. It's such an interesting contrast to his relationship with Lauren. Mm-hmm. Because when he says he feels very comfortable with Becca, I believe him.
It seems like a bad thing.
Yeah.
Yes, I just think it's a knock against her almost in his mind because he, as you said, is an adrenaline junkie.
Yes,
and in this relationship, he feels very secure. He doesn't have doubts, but he also doesn't seem to feel a ton of excitement.
Yeah.
I don't think he's excited about Becca.
Yeah.
He asks, they talk about, like, plans for the future. They talk about
which is the first,
what they do long
distance. Is this the first person we've heard
it? I think so.
I guess he sort of talked about the future with Jacqueline to establish that it wouldn't work.
Right.
But,
yeah, because she has ambitions.
Yeah, exactly. It's an obstacle.
It was an obstacle.
And she asks if he'd want her to move to Scottsdale, to Scottsdale right away. And he's
why
like,
does he
no
have
pressure.
To be in Scottsdale?
His family, I think.
Oh.
I think it's important to him to live in Scottsdale near his
things
family.
Things are important to a lot of us.
Right. I mean, look, but it's his prerogative to want to live where he wants to live.
That's
and
true.
Then... it's a good thing that some of these women won't be subjected to Scottsdale.
Right.
But
yes. That's true.
I do
That's
think true. If he wants to make go. It really clear early on, what I'm looking for is someone
who goes to Scottsdale.
And
will
has
come
a
to Scottsdale
schedule.
And has a flexible schedule. But
did
I thought that,
yeah.
I thought that this exchange was fine. You know, he says to Becca, I would not want that to be a pressure on you. I would only want you to come when you feel comfortable. And I thought that was
That's sweet.
That was good.
Uh-huh. And then the amazing scene where it's nighttime and they're under the vast desert sky. And
I
want to
go on this date so badly.
I know. I was so into it.
There's like a beautiful lit up glamping tent.
I'll go by myself.
I'll go with just some friends. Yeah. I just want to do this.
Oh, my gosh. It looked incredible.
I mean, because I'm not big into camping or roughing it or whatever.
I will glamp.
But it has to be really spectacular. I'm not going to go glamping in, like, you know, upstate New York. I need it to be.
Or South Lake Tahoe.
Yeah. Come on.
You're going to go to the deserts of Peru. Yeah. No, it was incredible. I was like, this is the day I would want to be on.
Yeah.
100%.
It looked like the cover of, like, Station 11 or something where there's, like, the lit up tent under the stars. I was like, I love this.
Yeah, it was cool.
They, again, continue to talk about how comfortable they feel and don't have any concerns about their relationship. But he does say that his biggest fear going in was three things.
Yeah, he says my biggest fear and then names three different things.
Oh, choosing someone who didn't choose him, there not being someone in the room that was for, like, the right person for him, or choosing the wrong person.
Aren't those the same thing?
No.
I don't think so. The first one is him being rejected.
Okay.
The second one is that he would enter the process and there literally wouldn't be anyone that he was genuinely interested in, which is what we saw, which is what I guess happened on, like, Jordan, the New Zealand Bachelor season.
Oh, right. Where
he just wasn't into anyone. Or choosing the wrong person. And they keep hammering this theme home.
Yeah.
This is the second conversation we've seen where he says, I'm afraid of choosing the wrong person. And it just feels like
I'm a little nervous.
This is going to be a theme.
I'm a little nervous. That's what's going to happen.
We're going to have to find out. It's all going to play out, as Ari
says.
And she Becca says damn as an intensifier so much that it's starting to get on my nerves.
I didn't notice
that.
Oh my gosh,
she
keeps being like, I'm so damn happy, or like, I'm so damn nervous.
Oh, now I'm going to notice it.
Yeah.
It did not strike me.
It's fine. It's her own quirk, mm-hmm. but for some reason it really bothers me, and I keep wanting to be like, we get it, you're so damn nervous. I'm really rude. And she also says again that he started to take pieces of her heart, which is a figure of speech she seems to like. And she says the day after hometowns, she was just daydreaming and looking at the clouds, and she just realized
she loved him. Yeah.
And it didn't scare her. And she's been dying to tell him that. And he says, I'm not falling for you. I'm in love with you.
Like, this is all on him.
This is such a bad move.
Yeah. Unforced error by Ari.
Yeah, he's like,
There's no reason to say this to either of these women.
No one's asking.
Because now you're in a position to really hurt one of them.
Yeah.
Even more, like, someone always gets pretty hurt on this show. It's part of the game.
Yeah.
But just don't say you're in love.
This is over the top.
It's like, so unnecessary.
And then didn't he say, I'm ready to propose right now, right here, right now?
Yeah, he's like, I think he says that not to her, but he does say.
Oh, in the interview, yeah.
Yeah.
But he's like, I'm ready to, like, get this over with and propose. And it's like.
Propose here in the sand dunes.
2 days ago,
you told
another woman you're in love with her.
Yeah.
Like, he says, I'm so in love with this girl. She's literally perfect. I don't believe him. I don't believe that he's in
love. Or is he trying to convince himself that she's perfect? He's like, she's perfect.
I'm so anxious about the ending of this.
I know.
I'm very nervous for both Lauren and Becca.
Yes, because I think bad things are going to happen
to both of them.
Yeah.
It's not good.
He gives her the date card. They do the fantasy suite
thing
in the tent. Who knows? So several people tweeted that they were. I know, it was so small.
Yeah.
It was definitely a double bed.
Lauren's princess date where she had a jacuzzi. And I was like,
I wanted to tweet about how small the bed was. And then I was like, maybe I just am going to reveal how big of a bed I'm used to. I don't know. I'm going to seem really privileged.
A double bed is a small thing in
at least a
hotel
queen.
Room of some sort.
Yeah.
I know
it's like
a glamp.
Bed.
You know, it was I'm sure glamping. That it's glamping.
In Peru, yeah.
If I'm glamping, I expect a king-size bed. Like the whole floor of
you
the
want
glamp
a starfish,
should be.
At least.
Yeah.
Right?
I like to starfish.
Starfish is a necessity, and I think. Starfishing.
several people I saw tweeting, where did they go to the bathroom? I have to assume that in a glamping situation, there is a bathroom.
Oh.
Maybe there was a trailer off camera.
They absolutely provided them with a way to go to the bathroom.
I just got so nervous. I was like, did Becca have to, like, dig a hole?
I'm sure. That's not glamping.
Yeah, that's probably it.
That's
they were like,
camping.
Here's this beautiful bedroom that seems to have electricity.
Here's the hole that you need
to dig your own hole.
Here is a beautiful bed with rose petals. Here's your shovel for digging your own bathroom.
Yeah, go take a roll of toilet paper, but make sure you bring it back because leave no trace.
Yeah, here's some leaves for covering the scent.
And so in the morning, they're making out in bed, and he says he kept kissing her teeth because she kept smiling.
Ew. That's
I know.
Weird.
Awkward. But then they have a little breakfast picnic. Yeah. It was set up like 50 yards away from the tent.
Yeah.
What was that about?
They were like, here we go on our trek to get to breakfast.
To breakfast. And the sun is beating down. So they're out like unsheltered.
Like no shoe. Wasn't she like barefoot in her robe?
In her tiny little robe that was not designed for a sandy dune.
Yeah. They're just like, if you can make it to breakfast, which is like love. Can you make it across the desert of love?
It's miserable. It's just uncomfortable. But when you get there, it's still uncomfortable, but there's food.
But there's food.
They
have a great time.
She's like, nothing can get in the way at all now. I just see my husband and him, which is ridiculous, even if what is about to happen didn't happen, because there's still two other women.
Yeah.
But, which makes me think, did he also tell Becca that he was going to pick her?
He might have. So.
I think he's being reckless. Ari is being reckless here.
Yeah. Adrenaline junkie.
I think you're right. He's like the most boring, goofy, like just very like bland guy who's an adrenaline junkie.
Yeah.
Who needs to feel that rush. And the only way he gets it is from people who either withhold from him or he has to create his own drama.
And we saw some of that, but fortunately for him, some external drama this episode.
Which, do we think the ABC producers called the ex-boyfriend, or did he actually on his own?
I don't know. I'm a little bit torn about this.
I mean, my guess is that it is a combination, which is that I bet he contacted production.
They orchestrated it.
They definitely bought his ticket. And picked him up from the airport, right? Because, like,
picked him up from the airport. They're very cheap, so I wonder if they did pay for his ticket. I could see that going either way as well. I mean,
maybe they split it. Like, maybe.
Yeah, they're like, dude, you're so desperate.
Maybe. He used some miles, and they put the rest on the, you know,
on the ABC card,
and then they picked him up.
Well, so let's talk about Ross. Ross is Becca's ex. They were together on and off for 7.5 years.
Yeah. They have been broken up for a year.
Okay.
They met in college.
That's a good amount of time to be over someone.
He supported her through the death of her father. Oh. So they definitely had a complicated emotional relationship. Mm-hmm. I guess they were long distance because he moved to California and became a coach at Stanford. He is on the football coaching staff at Stanford.
That's cool.
Which is actually pretty
impressive.
Yeah,
it is very impressive.
Wow,
and she indicated that perhaps their dynamic hadn't been the healthiest, at least towards the end, and that she was always the one going to him, traveling to him, putting in all of the effort.
Yeah.
And it did not feel like an equal partnership.
Yeah.
But now he's making up for it because he came all the way to her.
To Peru.
Because
he just learned
a week ago that The Bachelor could involve a proposal. He has clearly not seen the show.
I was like, where have you been, Ross?
He's been coaching. Yeah, he's been coaching football.
He's been busy. And if you check his Instagram from around this time, it is just coaching stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
I believe he has a legitimate career.
Yeah, I mean,
I think it's kind of weird that this whole thing happened and there are Instagrams like within the week that this would have happened that are just like, here I am with my tea.
Oh, I'm like, interesting.
Weren't you kind of busy flying to Peru?
Yeah.
Overnight. He was only there for
a day. That's true. She really sent him straight back. A lot of people seem to find him quite handsome.
Yeah.
He's a beefy dude. Mm-hmm. He's in a light suit.
Yeah.
Beige linen suit.
Yeah.
And he first goes and talks to Ari. I have to think this was production orchestrated.
100%.
Yeah, they were like,
production was like, if you want to talk to Becca,
you've got to clear it with Ari first.
Yeah.
And Ari seems so genuinely startled.
Yeah.
And it is in the moment he says something like, why is hotel management here?
Yeah.
Which I thought was very funny.
Well, it's so funny because Ari opens the door and Ross is like, hey, man, I'm Ross. I'm Becca's ex. And then cut to Ari going, I was confused. I thought he was hotel management. I didn't know who Ross was, but I get it now. He's Becca's ex.
Yeah, good job, Ari.
He really put the pieces together.
You figured that out, Ari, all by yourself. No one told you.
He really processed that, and he came
he's
to the understanding.
He's very perceptive.
He is.
Ari, if he's one thing, is perceptive and articulate.
When people tell him things directly, he perceives it.
He'll usually repeat it back.
So Ross sits down with Ari and says, I know the show ends in a proposal, and that's my proposal to give her because they've had such a long history. She's the love of his life. Ari asks, is this maybe more about the competition?
Fair question.
Yeah.
And kind of funny coming from a guy who is the star of a competition dating show. And Ross says, no. She's been on my mind every day for the past year, and I flew overnight to get here. I drove for 5 hours. I'd have swam here if I had to.
Wow.
And Ari asks if Becca feels the same way, and Ross says, that's what I came here to find out. Mm. Ari tells him that he and Becca have said, I love you to each other.
Yeah.
But he can't speak for Becca, and so he sort of just...
And Ross says something kind of sweet here. He says, I know how easy it is to fall in love with her. It happened on the first date for me, so I know where you're coming from, too.
I thought that this exchange was pretty good.
It was pretty good.
Ari says, you know, go speak to her, essentially. Yeah. But if she says goodbye to you, I'd like you to respect our relationship moving forward.
And right. Ross is like, I don't know about that. Probably yeah. won't.
He's like, no.
He's like, eh.
Well.
But I have to shout out to Ari a little bit for this exchange. I yeah. actually found him to be pretty wonderful. Something that I do like about him and is different from a lot of the men that we see cast on these shows mm-hmm. is that he's not a super aggro dude.
Yes, he's not into the pissing contest.
Into a big toxic masculinity showdown.
Yeah.
And I thought that he handled this with quite a lot of grace, actually. He said, yeah. I can't speak for Becca's feelings. This is where we're at. Please respect our relationship yeah. and, you know, do what you're going to do.
And I did feel like he understood and respected that they had been together for 7 years, which, like, yeah. he's been on 3 dates with Becca. Like, you can't really, like, compare those things. And that someone
and
who's had a 7-year relationship.
Step up and say, don't yeah. talk to my woman.
Yeah, yeah. I've had 3 dates with her.
I was very relieved that none of that
yes.
bullshit happened.
No, I thought he handled it really. Yeah. I actually have felt like Ari handles, like, kind of difficult information pretty well. Like, even when, what's her name, Crystal, was talking about her family, I was like, that's actually the best response, which was, I think he just said, like, you can't help where you're from. That's fine. Like, I actually find...
I have mixed feelings about
yeah,
that.
Me too.
But
yeah.
I do think that Ari handles those sort of conflicts quite well.
He handles them
when
pretty well.
He was at his most... I found him at his most charming and compelling mm-hmm. when he was... talking to Crystal and sort of shutting her down and being a little bit firmer, but
yeah.
in a way that still felt sort of gentle and kind.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
it's one time when it feels like his age actually yes. is reflected
yes.
in maturity,
yeah.
Which often I'm not sure that it is.
Yeah, so good job, Ari.
Yeah. But then, of course, we cut to his in the moment, and he's like, that fucking nerd. It was so unclassy for him to come here. And he feels like it's like a really big step to go from having broken up a year ago to proposing. I will say I don't feel like it's any further of a step.
Than going on 3 dates and proposing?
Yeah. But, you know, your mileage may vary.
Yeah.
And it's definitely, I mean, Ross shouldn't have come. Like, obviously.
No.
Becca didn't want him there. He wasn't invited. He wasn't welcome.
And also, if you've thought about someone every day for the last
year. You should tell them.
And then yeah. you don't decide to tell them until you know they might be into someone else.
Yeah.
That's selfish as fuck.
Yeah. yeah.
And I felt like I did feel some empathy for him, but mostly I felt kind of pissed
yeah.
and bad for Becca, because to be put in a situation with mm-hmm. someone that the relationship had ended a year ago.
Yeah.
She had made that decision. She had been clear yeah. that their relationship was not good for her and she was not getting what she wanted. To have someone show up, there is a narrative that making the grand gesture is the thing to do. And it's not necessarily a healthy narrative that
yeah.
we have.
Yeah, it's a little reductive.
Yeah, and it's funny that this ends up, it seems like he's enacting something from a movie. And it
yeah,
turns
and
out that,
that
she says that as if it's something she
knows about him.
She believes
knows.
To be characteristic about yeah. him.
It also is that kind of like, you know, the only time I'll make this grand gesture is when another man is about to
stealing
mark my
property.
Territory. Like,
yeah,
it does
it felt,
feel...
It felt like that to me.
Very yeah. machismo, very, like, I like my woman, not your woman.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know? It's
and
like,
he
what
goes
about
to,
a month ago?
And, you know, I know production did this, but it's like, well, let me clear this with her keeper
right.
before yeah. I speak to her.
Right, let me talk to the man of the house.
I mean, yeah, that setup was terrible. I think it's very telling and probably a big part of what upset Becca was that she, you know, he'll make this big gesture to show how he feels and to kind of preen himself on that, but he won't make the daily effort.
Little
of,
gestures, yeah.
Yeah, of even like the medium gesture of being the one to book a ticket back to see her, you
yeah.
know? And that could be a big gesture. You could, mm-hmm. you have a fight and break up. You can book a flight back home and like show up on her doorstep and be like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big gesture to wait a year and then fly to Peru.
To prevent her from finding happiness with someone else.
Right. Yeah.
That just shows that you'll only make a big effort for her when it's sufficiently cinematic for you.
Yeah. I thought that was so interesting how she said that it was he thinks his life is a movie. Because I was like, this is straight up out of a movie.
Yes.
This is like the big airport scene where someone's running with flowers and they're like, don't get on the plane.
Oh, and those sad flowers.
Oh, yeah. And he goes, here are your flowers.
Yeah.
Threw them.
He clearly thought that she would open the door and be like, oh, my
your
God,
hand to save
here.
Me.
Yeah, thank God.
And instead she says, what the fuck?
Yeah, she's like,
what
no,
are you doing here?
No,
no. No. Yeah. All
she won't
keeps
let
saying
him in.
Is, no, don't come in my room. We can talk over here.
Yeah.
No. She just keeps saying no. That's a pretty good indication that, like, you fucked up.
Yeah. You're not wanted here.
And she keeps saying, like, I knew you were going to do this. This is so like you. You live your life in a movie. I think you think this is going to be like The Notebook. Right. And he says, I do think that. Dude, like, why would you
yes,
think that?
That's correct.
After what she just said.
Yeah, he's like, that's pretty much what I thought.
And he says, when I found out you were on the show, I hoped you wouldn't get picked, but you have a heart of gold and the soul of a saint, and I knew this guy was going to pick you. Sorry, dude, you should have done something earlier.
Too late. Yeah.
Honestly, this scene was so frustrating to me because I do love romantic movies, and I did, like, my heart does just instinctively go out to Ross.
To grand gestures.
And to grand gestures, and to that feeling of losing someone that you always felt like things would work out for you in the end.
Yeah.
But that's not...
That's not real life.
You also
real life.
Have to look at why you're doing a grand gesture. Mm-hmm. Like, what is the thing that's, like, propelling you? And in this case, it was, like, someone stealing her. You know what I mean?
Right. Or, like... And look, I get where young men learn this. How many movies
every
can
movie.
We name where the guy only decides to declare his love when his... friend slash ex slash woman he grew up next to
gets married.
About to, you know, walk down the aisle.
Yeah.
There's a new Netflix movie that is literally the premise. The guy goes back in time.
To stop the wedding.
To stop the person that he never confessed his love to from falling in love with her fiance. I mean,
it's
what,
like,
does the woman really gain in this? It's all, at the end of the day, it's all about the men.
Yeah.
And
no,
their
it totally
needs.
Is.
It's not actually about... Yeah. Giving this woman the choice to choose the partner she wants to be with.
Although, there was a part of me that, like, was a little bit like, well, now Becca gets a choice. And before it was like Ari gets a choice.
But maybe she should get a choice between other people.
It's not a good choice. And I think that also that sets it up to be like, well, Ross is the one who will commit to you and Ari is choosing between several other people. She doesn't have to be
choose
with either
that's
them.
What I mean.
So
at
whatever.
The end of the day, she can go home, live her life, and meet someone who's actually right for her.
Choices.
If it's not these bozos.
Yeah. We're just, your storytelling mind is set up to interpret things this way of like, and now these are Becca's two choices.
Yeah.
Which one is better? Pros and cons. And then I'm like, if I'm Becca, I probably don't want to end up with either of them, and definitely not my ex, who I finally got over.
Who I already made the decision to not be with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know... Also, like, I was in an on-and-off relationship that was ping-ponged like that, where, like, I would be like, now I want to get back together, and then I would get over it, and then he'd be like, well, now I want to get back together. And it just sucked. Like, we were always miserable, because once you've gotten over it, the last thing you want to do is be told, now you can have the thing that you no longer want.
Yeah, completely.
I was like, don't tell me that.
It also, like, takes away the kind of, like, choosing the part. Like, there's so many, it's almost like settling or, like, just responding to these grand gestures as opposed to, like, two people making a choice to be with each other. It takes that away. It's almost just rewarding the fact that, like, someone, like, did something big, you know?
Right.
And it's like, what about, like, the choice that she made, like, every day to not be with you for the last year?
And it really comes back to the time when these narratives were created was a time when women's only real option was to get married.
Yeah.
And so it really was,
who makes, like, the bigger gesture?
Yeah. Who makes the better case for her? Like, who's your best option? Who's going to be more committed to you? Like, who's going to support you better?
Yeah.
And now we live in a world where you don't have to choose either guy.
You can support yourself.
You can support yourself.
You can decide what you actually need from a partner emotionally.
Yeah. And even if you are with a partner, you have to choose that partner every day. Like, being with...
As Ari knows.
As Ari knows. But, like, you do have to make... That's a conscious choice that you can unmake at any time. You know?
I also want to say, Becca... posted something on her Instagram story. She said, to those praising the hot, quote, hot, I stand by my decision to not accept an unhealthy relationship back in my life. I will never doubt or question that.
Good for
and
her.
Then says, take a minute to think about how you'd want your best friend, daughter, sister, cousin, aunt, etc. to be treated, and understand that those qualities weren't always exemplified.
Ooh,
so,
that's good.
Good for her.
Good for her.
She didn't want that relationship. That relationship was not healthy.
Yeah. I can also imagine how, like, if someone who hasn't treated you well then tries to be this hero on TV, how annoyed like that would make, like how frustrating that would be of like, you're like the, you know, knight in shining armor. You're trying to have this like.
And I'm sure people were tweeting at her last night, like, you're an idiot. Yeah. He was there for you.
That's what I find crazy is like, as much as my instinctive reaction to the Ross move is to feel sympathy for him.
Yeah, and of course. And that's
be like,
fine.
But like to not, you have to take a step back and be like.
It's manipulative.
It's manipulative. And it's not behavior we should be encouraging, even if instinctively we
it's
feel
fun.
Positively toward it. Right. And also just the idea that Becca is obligated to do anything because you saw like 2 minutes of some dude on TV and you liked it.
She might have a little bit more information
about
him. She has
7 years more information than you do.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me. And so they have this really long, awkward conversation in which she's just like, please leave. And he's like, I sort of thought you would just agree that we should be together. And she's like, nope. And so he finally leaves. Becca is now very concerned that this has tainted the whole situation. She finds out, he mentions that he talked to the guy.
I loved that.
And she's like, wait, you talked to
what
Ari?
What do you mean, the guy?
You definitely do get a sense of that relationship dynamic where she's used to gleaning information from the kinds of comments he makes.
What are you talking about, the guy?
Yeah. Oh, the guy?
That could have meant anything. And she was like, oh, you mean R? Oh, you mean the guy.
And she's so pissed.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she says, what we had was unhealthy for so damn long, which was another instance.
So damn long.
Anyway, so then she wants to go talk to Ari and she just keeps apologizing and saying she feels sick. And he actually starts to say something in response, and then he stops and says, I'll let you talk. I love it when he does that. And she says she just doesn't want their beautiful date and their relationship to be tainted, and she's sure about how she feels. And
but it feels like he was shaken.
He was.
He was, which now I'm kind of like, why would that taint his idea? I guess because, like, he's maybe wondering if she will choose.
I think he's very insecure about someone not choosing him back.
Yeah.
And it also feels like, and
he
says this in this in the moment,
right,
that
might be a point
for
Becca.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
That's why it's sort of odd. On the one hand, he's nervous that she won't choose him. He's nervous that this will continue to be an issue that comes up in their relationship afterwards.
Yeah.
But I also sort of feel like this might have worked for him because there was this relationship that was so calm, had no drama in it.
Yeah.
And he seemed bored. And now he's thinking about it.
Yeah,
now he's cycling.
Yeah, exactly. It's giving him that rush.
Right.
He's like, ooh. Withholding, yeah.
And he's
Look,
telling
she's
a little
just,
story to himself
right,
about
she's
it, too.
She's just chosen him over this guy.
Yeah.
Which is, so, she has that sense of maybe being more unobtainable because other guys want her, but she still is choosing him, which gives him the ego boost.
Mm-hmm.
But he's telling himself this little story of, like, well, I don't know what happens in a 7-year-long relationship. I don't know how to compare that to ours. And I know he was a big part of your life. And so he's building up this competition now mentally
in
between,
his mind.
Yes.
So it's kind of giving him
a little
drama.
Perspective,
she's like, I broke up with this guy a year ago.
Yeah.
I've put that chapter of my life to bed. I feel good about us.
Yeah.
So we'll see how this plays out.
So now he has two, like, dramas in his mind.
Yeah.
These two,
and
like,
then there's Kendall.
Oh, and Kendall.
And
right.
Have,
by this
sorry,
point,
girl.
I forgot Kendall was still there.
I did, too.
Well, it's time for the rose ceremony. And we see Becca, Lauren, and Kendall show up. They're doing the rose ceremony on a cobblestone courtyard, which is real bad for their heels.
At one point, Lauren even says, it's really hard to walk on this.
Yeah.
Which is, that's real.
It's
it was like the
real.
Girl teetering on heels in the meatpacking district.
Yes,
also,
it's
like,
so hard. It's so hard. It's
tethered behind Ari that just keeps whinnying.
Yeah, what was that horse
doing? It's a mood
horse.
Yeah, a mood horse.
I was like, and there's a random horse in the background.
That's very my mood. And I loved Becca's dress.
Loved
it was
Becca's dress.
So beautiful.
So much. It was gorgeous.
There
everyone
was a lot
was
of good
fashion
with.
Happening.
A lot of good fashion.
That almost looked like a dress you wear the last episode. Like, it was
but
so...
They get styled.
They get styled then.
That's
right,
like
so she
dress.
Probably was, like, breaking this out.
That yeah, she was like, we're going for broke. It was gorgeous. She looked
stunning.
So beautiful. She
if
looked
I
stunning.
Got married again, I would want wear that dress.
It looked
very wedding.
It was kind of like pink too. It was like pink
blush. It was like a really blush. Like a pinky off white.
Yeah, I loved it.
Oh, gorgeous.
Yeah, okay. It was beautiful.
So Ari says that after this week he is in love. And he knows. And I imagine just both Beck and Lauren being like, yeah.
With me. I'm getting chosen.
And I was like, y'all don't even know. Like, you don't even know.
And he says he knows this will end in a proposal. And then he pulls Kendall aside again.
For the second time.
And Lauren says, I'm going to throw up. Mm-hmm. And Ari pulls Kendall aside, sits her down, and says, I've been thinking a lot about us and our relationship, and I don't think we can get there. Mm-hmm. And she says she knows they weren't in the same place as everyone else. And she says, I love being around you. And Ari says, I'm going to miss that.
He says, I'm going to miss that.
He says, I know.
That was my favorite exchange. I know.
I was glad that he pulled her aside before having to go through the whole rose ceremony.
Yeah, I think that was
At least he didn't humiliate her.
Right, in front of anyone else. Yeah. They got to have their private conversation.
And
I thought that was better.
She's so understand. Like, she was so, she took it
so
well.
She was so gracious. Yeah.
I really like her.
Me too. I would like to hang out with her.
I would like to hang out with her. She's sweet. She's perceptive. She never seems that surprised with anything.
She's very self-aware too, which I like.
Yeah.
I actually would love her as the Bachelorette, but I don't know if it's the right setting for her.
Yeah.
She would definitely be more fun to watch, probably, than Becca or Lauren.
Yeah.
Or even, I mean, or Tia.
I feel like it's going to be Tia.
I feel like Tia is not going to be as much fun as I'd hope, but, but we'll see.
That's my friend calls her.
Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, Ari is giving the roses to Becca and
Why
Lauren.
Did they even give out the roses? At
they
this
always
point?
Give out the roses.
I know, but it just felt.
Who's it going to be?
Usually, because the idea is you still have to accept it.
Accept it. That's true. It gives them the choice. But you usually get to see the lead come back and say, hey, guys, that was really hard. I had to let Kendall go. There was no explanation. It was just them like,
I have to assume.
I wonder if he didn't even say it. I know, I'm sure that it happened. Or maybe he just handed them a rose.
It felt very dissonant. I definitely think that he said something, but it just felt very dissonant to cut right. And then they were doing that spliced up with Kendall's exit interview.
And then them like hobbling across the
them
cobblestones.
Giggling and hobbling.
I was like, did we miss something? Yeah, and then them watching the sunset together. I was like, that is so awkward. Like, these ladies do not know.
It reminded me of the JoJo Lauren Ben cheers after he told both of them that he loved them.
Yeah, they're both like oblivious. They're like, it's me. And the other one's like, it's definitely me.
So awkward for her being on this date between me and my future fiance.
I know. I am. Can I say what I think is going to happen that I'm scared of? No. I'm so scared. Okay, never mind. I'm going to keep it to myself.
Say it after.
We don't want to taint anything.
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay.
Just like Ross tainted this evening for Becca.
True.
And that's pretty much a wrap. Lauren tells Ari in front of Becca, I'm excited to meet your family. I feel like I already know them. Oh, and I was like, chill, Lauren.
Also, how?
Yeah.
Lauren. When did you talk about his family?
Yeah, because you've never spoken.
Yeah.
Ever. I don't know.
He was like, I have family.
And she was like, I love them.
I love that.
I love that. I know them. I love that. Yeah.
For credits, we get some more of Kendall sandboarding.
Which looked really fun.
A beautiful send-off to Kendall. It did look fun. And she will be missed. Next week, two-night finale.
It's two nights?
Two nights.
Yes. Apparently, they've added a Tuesday night element.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not sure what that programming is going to be, like if there's going to be an hour extra programming and then the live show will be Tuesday night or if they're breaking that up into two segments.
Yeah. What?
I guess we'll see.
Could possibly take that long.
We're just going to have to see that unfold.
Oh, my gosh.
R.I.P. Our time.
Yeah. With Ari.
I will say.
R.I.P.
R.I.P.
After this past week, we have watched 11 hours of Bachelor content.
I'm so unhappy.
I am like, I look ahead and I'm like, I have every night this week open. I'm going to go out. I'm going to read books.
Yeah. There's
Emma's
so much.
Book, maybe.
I'm definitely going to read Emma's book.
Yeah.
So thanks, excited. Guys.
Big week for us. Yeah. They've really encroached on so much of my life that now I'm just grateful.
For all the time.
For all the time that I'm left with.
Yeah.
But last night was a pretty solid episode. I'm excited for the finale. And apparently it's going to be a doozy. I don't know if you saw
this,
but
the most dramatic finale
ever.
And I actually kind of believe Chris Harrison this time.
I do, too. I believe him.
I mean, it's been pretty dramatic in the past, but I think it will be on the dramatic side.
Yes.
You might not have seen this because it was on Women Tell All, but Caroline...
I heard.
...tells Ari,
I know what you did.
I know what you did.
And I guess
last summer.
Next week, we will know what he did as well.
We'll know.
Can't wait.
Oh, gosh.
Can't wait.
I'm nervous.
And now, welcome to Feminism Fails, where we rate the most cringeworthy anti-lady moments of the week on our very own patented Feminism Fail scale.
1. You do you, bro. 2. That's questionable. 3. Not cool, people. 4. The 1950s are back. 5. Gender equality is straight up dead.
We're going to focus on one big feminism fail this week because it took up pretty much 50% of the episode. Ross coming to Peru to follow Becca without her consent. We might feel for Ross. I certainly did. Rom-coms may promote this kind of behavior. We know where people like Ross learn it. But it's really important that we stop valorizing it and treat it like it's a romantic, desirable thing. It encourages, like, ignoring women's boundaries. It romanticizes proto-stalking-ish.
Yeah. It's just not good. We're going to give it a 5. We're tired of this narrative. It's incredibly damaging. Just don't do it. Respect when someone says they are no longer satisfied with the relationship that you have with them. And that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks to our guest, Vella Lavelle, and our producer, Nick Offenberg. And before we go, we have a South by Southwest panel coming up on Saturday, March 10th at 5 p.m. Unfortunately, only badge holders to the festival will be able to get into the event, but we will have the live stream on TuneIn.
And you also will be able to listen to it later. We will have it up as a podcast at some point.
So never fear, you will be able to hear the live show.
Yes, don't be afraid. And if you have any questions you'd like us to try to address during the Q&A, send them to us at our email, heretomakefriends@huffpost.com. And in the meantime, why don't you find Here to Make Friends on Apple Podcasts? You can subscribe and give us a rating. We really appreciate it. And we're also on Facebook and Instagram. You can also find us both on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Claire E. Fallon.
And I'm at Emma Lady Rose. Or, of course, as Claire said earlier, you can send us an email at heretomakefriends@huffpost.com.
Thanks for listening and for supporting Emma's book. We'll be back next week to talk about the big finale.
2 episodes worth.